Zeus grants my son that honor. But for all that, now tell me who you are. Where do you come from? You've hardly sprung from a rock or oak like some old man of legend. The master improviser answered slowly, My lady, wife of Laertes' son, Odysseus, will your questions about my family never end? All right, then, here's my story, even though it plunges me into deeper grief than I feel now. But that's the way of the world when one has been so far from home, so long away as I, roving over many cities of men, enduring many hardships. Still, my story will tell you all you need to know. There is a land called Crete, ringed by the wine-dark sea with rolling whitecaps, handsome country, fertile, thronged with people well past counting, boasting 90 cities, language mixing with language side by side. First come the Achaeans, then the native Cretans, hardy, gallant in action, then Sidonian clansmen, Dorians living in three tribes, and proud Pelasgians last. Central to all their cities is magnificent Knossos, the site where Minos ruled, and each ninth year conferred with almighty Zeus himself, Minos, father of my father, Deucalion, that bold heart. Beside myself, Deucalion sired Prince Idomeneus, who set sail for Troy in his beaked ships of war, escorting Atreus's sons. My own name is Aethon. I am the younger born. My older brother's a better man than I am. Now, it was there in Knossos that I saw him, Odysseus, and we traded gifts of friendship. A heavy gale had landed him on our coast, driven him way off course, rounding Malea's cape when he was bound for Troy. He anchored in Amnisus, hard by the goddess's cave of childbirth and labor, that rough harbor barely riding out the storm. He came into town at once, asking for Idomeneus, claiming to be my brother's close, respected friend. Too late. 10 or 11 days had already passed since he set sail for Troy in his beaked ships. So I took Odysseus back to my own house, gave him a hero's welcome, treated him in style, stores in our palace made for princely entertainment. As for his comrades, all who'd shipped with him, I dipped into public stock to give them barley, ruddy wine, and fine cattle for slaughter, beef to their heart's content. 12 days they stayed with me there, those brave Achaeans, penned up by a north wind so stiff that a man even on dry land could never keep his feet. Some angry spirit raised that blast, I'd say. Then on the 13th day the wind died down, and they set sail for Troy. Falsehoods all. But he gave his falsehoods all the ring of truth. As she listened on, her tears flowed and soaked her cheeks. As the heavy snow melts down from the high mountain ridges, snow the west wind piles there, and the warm east wind thaws, and the snow melting swells the rivers to overflow their banks. So she dissolved in tears, streaming down her lovely cheeks, weeping for him, her husband, sitting there beside her. Odysseus's heart went out to his grief-stricken wife. But under his lids his eyes remained stock still. They might have been horn or iron. His guile fought back his tears. And she, once she had had her fill of grief and weeping, turned again to her guest with this reply. Now, stranger, I think I'll test you, just to see if there in your house with all his friends in arms you actually entertain my husband, as you say. Come, tell me what sort of clothing he wore. What cut of man was he? What of the men who followed in his train? Oh, good woman. Odysseus, the great master of subtlety, returned. How hard it is to speak after so much time apart. Why, some 20 years have passed since he left my house and put my land behind him. Even so,